kind of strange people are leaving. It happens everywhere I go. I've been away. I've been in a Skoda filling in up there. I was an interim pastor up there during COVID, and I was sharing with one of the fellas in the park we live in Florida, and I told him I was really excited. I said, this church has gone down slower than any church I've ever pastored. You didn't get it, did you? But, praise God, I am excited. Man, I tell you, I am. This is just awesome. If I could find my notes. I've been journaling the Old Testament. My wife and I do this, and it's been awesome. It's been an awesome time. A few weeks ago, Pastor Scotty preached out of Daniel, and that was where I was reading and journaling from. And so I'm going to pick up where he left off, hopefully. And if you want to use this as a series, you can. But I'm going to tell you a story. Actually, it has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon. It's about what's going on here and what's going on in Florida. And many of you know Denny and Colleen Dubendorf. And are acquainted with them, and we go to Wednesday night Bible study, or not Bible study, prayer meeting. I encourage you to be a part of that. It's an awesome, awesome opportunity to get together and pray for the church. A lot of what's going on in here is because of the Wednesday night over there in that room, and people praying and lifting the church up. And I know others are praying. We appreciate it, and I encourage you to continue to do that. But the Dubendorfs have a grandchildren, actually a child down there in Florida as well, and they live in the same community that we live in. And they told us about them, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and we had prayed for them, and one day we were out driving around. Dr. Brenda, many of you know her, she was down. She comes down every year for a week to get out of the winter. And she said, let's go look up Dubendorf's grandchildren. And actually, when she asked the question, we were in the vicinity that they lived. So we took a little turn and went off and did some calling and da-da-da, and we found them. And we went in and introduced ourselves and told them we knew their grandpa and grandma, and they were glad to have us come. But we continued to go back. My wife and I, we've continued to go back and spend time with them and just trying to build a bridge and be friends. And one thing has led to another, and they've started going to the church that we attend in Florida. And it's been pretty awesome. Dubendorf's granddaughter took in three children from their nieces and nephews, took them into their home because there were some issues in the family and they needed to be someplace secure. And so these kids have come into their home. They have one child of their own. These three have come in, so now all of a sudden they got four children. And bless their hearts, you know, it's tough. It's tough trying to take care of your own, let alone take others in besides, but they've decided that's what they needed to do, and they're doing it. And they all started coming to the church, and our church in Florida is big on baptisms, and I encourage you, do it. Take the next step. It'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to others. So I encourage you to continue to do that. But you need to understand that this little girl, one of the girls, the oldest girl of the children that were taken in, her mother was preparing her for Wickham. I'm not sure her mother's involvement. I know she's involved in it, but she was prepping the little girl for that. that little girl got in church, and I think it was the first, maybe second Sunday, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I say the old devil got a black eye, eh? Well, it wasn't very long. She said, you know what? I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to be baptized. So we did. I didn't do it. They took care of it. And they baptized her. Well, a few weeks later, the son of the couple that took these children in, he said, you know what? I think I'm going to live for Jesus. I want to be baptized too. And so just 2 weeks ago, he was baptized. And then it's common down there for baptisms. And then to come up here and see it's catching on up here as well. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to see God moving over there and God moving up here. And we see the two churches almost coming together. And you know, isn't that what it should be? Shouldn't churches work arm in arm and hand in hand and see the kingdom of God expanded and the old devil given a black eye and hindered? He's doing all he can to destroy us, and we need to move on together. Enough of that. Let me share with you. I'm going to be reading out of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Interesting thoughts. I'm not going to be dealing with prophecy this morning. There's an encouragement here that I think is good for all of us. We need to be encouraged. Amen. And you know what? If you don't say amen, I'm going to think you don't hear me, and I'm going to have to repeat everything. So it's going to take twice as long to do the sermon. Okay. So we're trying to move ahead, right? Amen. Yeah. Oh yeah. Much better. Thank you. Thank you. Chapter 9, verse 23, and I think I got it on the screen. I can't even see that back there. You know what? Old age is a booger. Is it that one? Whoa. I can see the words almost, but them little reference things down at the bottom, my goodness. Don't they know old people have trouble? Amen. I want to share this word with you. This is exciting. When I started reading through this, I thought, man, God, how awesome are you? It is just so awesome. Actually, I'm going to start reading at verse 20 of chapter 9. And this is Daniel with an encounter with the angel. Verse 20, it said, I went on praying and confessing the sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord, my God, for Jerusalem, His holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me. At that time of the evening sacrifice, he explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began to pray, or you began praying, a command was given, and now I'm here to tell you. I'm just interrupt a moment. Isn't that awesome thought? Daniel begins to pray, and the angel says, the very moment you began to pray. You ever thought of that? The very moment you begin to pray, God hears, and it begins? Woo! I mean, it's not a 3 month or 4 months or 6 months thing. It's the very moment that we begin to pray, God begins to move. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was. Here's the thought I want you to get. For you are very precious to God. Have you ever thought of yourself as being very precious to God? Have you ever thought of yourself being very precious to anyone? It's a tough world. And Pastor Scotty did such an excellent job in setting up the situation, the circumstances that Daniel finds himself in. He was taken from his country. He was indoctrinated. He was brainwashed, literally. He had no other literature, and all the ins and outs of the situation, the country he was in. And God sends an answer to a prayer and tells him, Daniel, you are very precious to me. You're very precious to God. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, hello? God? You kidding? You know where I'm at? You know who I am? Do you know what I'm going through? And now you send me a message and say, I am very precious to you? You don't treat your friends this way, do you? See, your worth is not determined by the circumstances you're going through in life. You can be going through literally hell on earth and be very, very precious to God. He loves you. He cares about you. He literally made you. Well, your parents were involved a little. But I'm going to turn back to Psalms 139, and this is a great psalm. I love this psalm. There's so much in this psalm. It's just so awesome. But listen to this. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. Woohoo! Good news, huh? God knows everything about you. Eww. Everything, God? Yep, everything. What about, yep, that too. I'm not sure I'm excited. You know me when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home, and you know everything I do. You know when I'm going to say, you know what I'm going to say, even before I say it. Man, God knows. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthermost sea, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as the bright day, and darkness and light are the same to you. You have made all the delicate inner parts of my body. God made you. He's made me. And you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life is recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day was passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. You're precious to God. You're precious to God. I remember my grandmother. She was about that high. And I remember going up to her house. And you come in the back door, go to the, up in the dining room and into the living room. And my grandmother had a leather rocker setting over to the right. And it was quite often that grandma was sitting there and her head was back and her mouth was open. I would barge in and I'd say, "Are you sleeping, Grandma?" Oh, no. Just resting my eyes. Oh, okay, that's good. But I remember my grandma sitting in that leather rocking chair, rocking back and forth, and knitting, and she did all kinds of things. She had quilts, she did the whole thing. But she would be knitting, and I'd watch her, and you know, one loop over another, and then that's how you knit, isn't it? Do I have the right thing? Huh? But it took time. It was very delicate. And here God is knitting us together in our mother's womb. He knows you. You're precious to God. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. It says the numbers of days are written down. He knows how long you're going to live. And I'm going to tell you something today. Every day of your life is a special gift from God. Special. Thank you, God. Forgive me when I complain. Forgive me when my attitude is wrong. But this day's a special day. It's a gorgeous day. It's an awesome day. Well, are we tracking? Do you know where we're at? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand? Amen? Amen. Woo! And victory in Jesus. Well, I don't think you do. I got extra verses here, which is just fine. I'm gonna go to chapter 10, and again, this is a different vision. This is a vision, and Daniel was a new Gabriel. He had seen him in previous visions, but whoever this person was, or this spirit, that came here, this angel, Daniel was not familiar with him. And I'll start reading with verse 7. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing, but were very terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face drew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and laid with my face on the ground. You think God's got a sense of humor? Huh? Here this poor kid... He's in another country, and he's going through all this stuff, and God is speaking to him, and scaring him to death. And he is so overcome with fear, he faints. I've never fainted personally, that I know of. But I remember one time, it was Sunday morning. The church I was pastoring at that time had all glass across the back of the sanctuary, so you could see out into the foyer. Well, when I was up on the platform, I could see all of that was going on. The congregation did not. And I had a little girl that was, her and her mother were coming into the church, and little girl was skipping and jumping and carrying on, and she tripped and fell down and skinned her knees. And her mother, when she got her into the church, told her, said, let's go into the bathroom and we'll clean up your knees. So the little girl, they went, and they got into the bathroom, and her mother was cleaning her up. And the little girl happened to look down. Now, she hadn't noticed that her knees were bleeding. When she saw the blood, she fainted. She hit her head on the corner of something, and then she really had an owie. And it was bleeding. And it wasn't very long, and there were people everywhere. We had a couple doctors that attended the church at that time, and I asked one of them, which was a lady, to go into the restroom and see if she could help. And she did. Pretty soon the paramedics are coming in. They're bringing in stretchers in. And there's firemen and fire trucks and ambulances outside. And this poor kid had just fainted. And when I read this, I thought about that little girl. And Daniel took a header, man. I mean, it said he went face down. That's a tough way to go down. It's a hurtful way to go down. And he laid there. And the man said to him, well, I'm fainting, and he lay down on the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Here it is again. You know, when God repeats things, you need to look at it. You need to see what God is really saying. And I don't think I'm still on the... Okay, is there? Man, I'm not doing this again. But God starts out telling Daniel, you're very precious to me. And then the next chapter, he says it's the very same thing all over again. God, you are very precious. Or Daniel, you are very precious to me. Are you getting it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Are you understanding? Are you understanding how precious you are to God? Now, I need to borrow some money. Has anybody in the church got a $100 bill? I need a $100 bill. Uh-oh. Okay. Pardon? I haven't prayed about it yet. Yeah, I'll give it back. You got $100? Ah, how awesome is that? I knew somebody would come through. All right, I've never touched one of these. Woo, this is awesome. This is awesome. Whose face is that? My goodness. My. See that? $100 bill. Holler, brother. Can I have a little fun with your money? Good deal. Sue and you and I are going out for lunch. Woo! It's going to be awesome. How much is this $100 worth?
$100.
No, it's not. It's not worth much, actually. in our economy, it's probably about $35. No, it's $100. It's worth $100. And you take this $100 bill and you wad it up and you throw it on the floor, stomp on it. And then you go down Beaverton Road, and those, what do they call them? Road apples? Hmm. Yeah. And you take this $100 bill, and you stick it in there, and let cars run over it. You can throw it in a rain barrel, and I mean, you can humiliate or destroy this thing. Not humiliate, destroy this thing. And what's it worth? $100. Again, the circumstances you find yourself in life do not dictate your worth. Are you getting it? Are we reading? Well, two people. Thank you. I appreciate that. If you want me to carry it for you, I will. I'd love that. $100 is $100. And it doesn't matter what you're going through in life, you're still precious to God. Now, there's some things that we do that are self-inflicted. You know, we go out and do stupid stuff. And we don't make good choices. That doesn't mean that God thinks that doesn't mean that He doesn't love us and care about us. Now, He doesn't want you to do that. It'll make life pretty miserable for you. But what God thinks doesn't change. He loves you. You're precious to Him. Now, are you sure you got it? Really? No, I don't think so. Uh-oh. This has got it. It's done. It's all right. So then, let's go to verse 17 of Daniel, Daniel 11. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? See, Daniel still didn't have it. He's in awe that he's able to speak to God, or that God would speak to him. And we need to be. We need to be. But when we feel like we're so low, so undeserving, so unloved, that we're flabbergasted or overcome because God would speak to us, that's not it. God loves us. He cares about us. But let's go on. My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said. And here it is again. For you are very precious to God. Peace be. Be encouraged. Be strong. Three times in two chapters, God tells Daniel, you are very precious to me. And I don't know what all of you are going through. I don't know what you think of yourself and where you're at. And what you think God might think about you. But I want to tell you again today, you are very precious to God. Amen. And your circumstances do not dictate your worth. You're a child of the King. Or if you're not, you can be. There's room in the family. But God loves you. He cares about you. He sent His Son to die on a cross. He gave His life. For God so loved the world. But we're precious to God. He cares about us. He cares about you. And He cares about what you're going through too. One thing that I omitted and I skipped over on purpose. This angel said, verse 12. He said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your requests have been heard in heaven." And there it is again. That very thought about Daniel was praying. I think God likes us to pray. Amen? Amen. I really know that God likes us to pray. "I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to me to help me, and I left him there with the spirit of prince of the kingdom of Persia." So Daniel's praying. God hears it. God sends an answer. 21 days. 21 days, the prayer is hindered. And I thought, you know what? Pretty awesome. Because I think that a lot of times we need to be reminded, and I don't know if you watched any of the Charlie Kirk memorial or not, but you heard it over and over and over and over. We don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against powers and principalities. There aren't any people in this room that are your problem. It's Satan. It's him. He's trying to deter us. He's hindering the answer from Almighty God for one of His servants. Now, I don't know how you hinder an angel. I don't know how that happens, but I don't know how electricity works either. And I don't know about wind, and I don't know about radio waves. There's a lot of things that I can't see, and that I see the effects, but I don't see it. The battle we battle today and the battle that you battle is against Satan. He's trying to take you down. He's a liar, a deceiver. He's trying to tear your families apart. He's trying to steal your kids. Right now, we're dealing with two kids in Florida, that teenagers, that have... one of them has attempted suicide, and the other one is threatening. It's sad, but it's Satan. It's the powers and the principalities, and this is all laid out here. But it doesn't mean that we're not precious to God. We are precious to Him. He cares about you. He loves you. And we need to allow God to do what God does. You know, I don't know how you change the fighting and the battling on that goes on in the spirit world. It actually says that. It says soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and after that the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. So this battle is going on. It didn't stop. And I don't believe that some prayers that we've been praying may have been hindered. And the answers haven't come. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, sometimes it's maybe, and sometimes wait. And sometimes the answer is on its way, it's just lost in the mail. Or maybe it's a prince's, the spirit world is dealing with the answers. You're precious to God. And there's some of you this morning that need to hear that. He cares about you. He wants to help you. Have you got it? You understand your worth? Doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances and what you're going on in life or not going on. You're special. You're precious to God. I want to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to do something just a little bit different. I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to hold your hands out in front of you. Will you do that? Father, we're grateful today. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for your direction. And Lord, we're grateful to know that you love us and care about us. And we're precious in your sight. And Lord, when you say it once, we need to hear it. When we say it, hear it twice, we really need to start listening. But Lord, when you say it three times, it's like yelling it. Trying to get through to our heart in our lives. So Father, help us leave this place today knowing that we have a God that loves us so much and that you have, again, a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. May we go and be Jesus to a hurting and darkened world. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Love you.